Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to have you back. As always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, tell your neighbor, tell your boss, tell somebody, help me grow this thing. I'm here with another guest, my second guest I've ever had. I don't have a milestone this week. I don't even want to associate what we're going to talk about with my innocent five-year-old son. So no milestone this week. I'm going to jump right in. This guy is a very good friend of mine. He's leaving soon. And for the last 2.5 years, this guy has gone to almost every road show I've done. We've spent dozens of hours in my car together, thousands of miles. I can't explain how much I appreciate this guy. He's seen me grow a lot as a comic. He's helped me. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be able to do half the shit that I've done in the last 2 years. I'll just say his name is Ray. I'll just say that. We'll leave it at that. He's kind of a secretive kind of dude, but we're probably going to talk about some weird shit. He's an interesting character. And welcome, Ray.
Well, hey, everybody. I mean, this seems a little bit weird. He talked me up quite a bit. I don't know if I'm going to be able to meet your expectations.
Well, you won't. Don't worry about that. You won't. What did you just make me mad about? What were we just talking about?
Entourage.
I go, Ray, Entourage is a great show. I don't know about that. Why? Because I haven't seen it. I'm fucking telling you, Entourage is a great show. It's almost midnight. I think after this podcast, I might just go ahead and play the first couple episodes. It's a great show.
Whoa, it's a Thursday.
I don't care.
People got to work in the morning.
I don't care. We can watch Entourage.
Entourage.
Yes.
Oh, man. See, you were right about Curb Your Enthusiasm.
See?
And see, I tried to watch Curb Your Enthusiasm when I was younger, but it just didn't stick. I didn't like it. Don't know how. Mind you, I'm only 26 years old. So maybe it was that age barrier.
I was the same way, man. I'm 10 years older than you. And when I would see it, I was turned off by the theme music. I thought it was stupid. I think it used to come on back in the day after Def Jam. And that was one of my first influences in comedy, was watching Def Jam. I would actually make a way to get over to my aunt's house on every Sunday, because it came on every Sunday, Def Jam did, just so I could watch Def Jam, because we didn't have HBO at my house, and I think it would come on afterwards or something like that. But so yeah, I feel good, man. I got somebody hooked on Curb Your Enthusiasm. The first episode he saw, he was like, I don't know why I wasn't watching the show, but now he's 2-3 seasons in now, and he's a huge Larry David fan, and I'm happy.
I'm a fan. I'll admit.
Good.
I didn't expect it. You know, sometimes, you know, it's always nice to get involved in new things. Other times, you know, it's not.
it's a dirty Seinfeld. You know what? Since and season 9 is coming out here soon. I can't wait to see that, but. Since we're kind of on the topic of TV and celebrities, as you all know, Kevin Hart was recently outed for cheating on his wife. And
never ever go to somebody else's place. You always go to a location you can control.
y'all might want to listen to Ray on this shit, but I just. It's funny that Patrice O'Neal, who was like a master when it came to relationships and women and just the game, the chase, just the psychology behind men and women and dating and all that kind of stuff. And him and Kevin were great friends. It would be interesting to hear Patrice O'Neal's perspective on what the hell was going on. Maybe if Patrice was around, he wouldn't even got into it, but. All this stuff, but I just think it's funny.
I mean, he could have listened to Dante Nero as well.
Maybe. That'd be interesting. I do like Kevin Hart, man. I like Kevin Hart, funny dude. I just think, one, he's not an Idris Elba type dude. Kevin Hart He's an average looking dude. He's literally like 5'2". He's not used to having that type of, I mean, he's been a star for a while, but now the dude is, he's an A-list celebrity. He's not the best looking dude in the world. He's a goddamn midget.
See, you getting on short people now. I'm only 5'4".
I'm just saying.
And I ain't the best looking dude either. I'm just saying. But I didn't pull 9 and 10s. Let's not.
But I'm just saying. He's got money. He's in great shape. He can. He looks a lot better now because he has money. And dudes, we're pieces of shit. We are.
Hold on now.
We're not all pieces. We're not. I say this. We're weak. We're weak.
That man had a choice. He was sloppy. That's what he was.
I agree. He should have been smarter. But men are weak. Women get offered. I use this now. Women get offered ice cream every day. They get offered, hey, what's my. No, it's to the point where it's like, you know what? They can pick and choose when they want ice cream. Guys like Kevin Hart are in this weird position where they are getting offered ice cream as much as women. And the thing is, men can't handle that. You can't handle people throwing it at you. We can't. We're weak.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. At some point in time, you're gonna take the Haagen-Dazs. It's gonna happen.
See, Haagen-Dazs is good, but besides the point. The point is that this man has multiple millions upon millions upon millions. His largesse is enough that he could easily, you know, support a couple households. Now, I'm not saying he should morally, because you know he got a pregnant wife at home. But the fact is that he can do more. That he has a lot more love to spread, or should I say, to afford.
And the thing is, man, she's not going anywhere. And all these people talking about how they feeling bad for her. At one point, she was the other woman.
She ain't the only woman that got cheated on. Hell, she's been the woman that I've cheated with.
Yeah, she was.
So you can't feel bad because you're on the flip side of the coin. You knew what you was getting into.
No, yeah, she was the other woman. So I mean, I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for her. I feel bad that for the kids. And honestly, dude, I don't judge people. I don't know what it's like to be that man. I can't say what I would and wouldn't do. I would not put myself in a position to where I would have to make a decision like that. I tell you that.
To get extorted or to come clean? No,
just in general.
Just in general.
To even put myself in a position to where I have to make a decision whether or not I want to be faithful to my wife or not. Again, we are fucking. Men are terrible people.
You say we're terrible people. I say we get turned into monsters.
Yeah.
I mean, every man has been like, you know, I want to put a roof over my family's head. I want to take care of my mom. Now let's be serious. We ain't all Christians. We all gonna fall short of the glory. So there's gonna be a couple humps and bumps along the way. But look at it like this.
Oh, Kevin had quite a few humps.
Well, how much? That's a good one. How much is he giving, you know, to his family so that, you know, I mean, come on now. He's worth a couple, too.
He made almost $90 million last year.
Yeah. If that man wants to cheat, okay. You know, you go right ahead. You still bringing home the bacon. Now, I'm a single dude. I ain't never been married. I ain't got to deal with them problems. But if she wanted to, divorce and leave she'd be set for life.
But she's not going anywhere. Just like even Dwayne Wade, him and his Gabrielle Union, they split up for a while. He got another chick pregnant while him and his wife were split up. Well, she's still there.
I'm still amazed by that.
They're not going anywhere. They're staying laced in red bottom shows and private jets.
Gabrielle Union can do it on her own. You know, she got a couple shows.
Yeah, but the thing is, she don't want to spend her own fucking money. What chick wants to spend their own fucking money?
You're right. You know, there's that women want to be taken care of. So they ain't never gonna.
This is a misogynistic podcast, so you might want to turn it off.
Oh no, we ain't gotten to the misogynistic stuff yet. We're just dealing with the basics. Now me, I'm not a misogynist. I am a giving person. I understand. I need to provide the safety. Need to provide anything that you need. I make sure you're set.
What does she need to provide?
You know, she need to give me something more than what I can do for myself. Now that I have not yet found.
Meaning what, Ray?
Out of 26 years, there's not much you can really give me except for pussy. It's the only thing I don't have. So, you can give me that. I'll take it. Now, if you have more to offer than that, then I'll take that too.
But at a minimum,
if that's what you do, that's what you bring to the table, hey, okay. So, but if you think you about to make some rules or you about to lay down some ground rules, that's not about to happen. Like, I'm still going to do what I want. If I leave my dirty drawers on the floor, pick them up.
Damn, right?
Like, that's all I'm saying.
How did you get to this way of thinking? Is it my fault?
I listen. You introduced me to
Patrice
O'Neal. That changed my life. And I don't know if I'm going to shout out any other podcasts right now. This is your thing, so I'm not going to do that.
I don't care. I got 9 listeners.
That's more than other people. So
now you listen to what, Beige Phillip?
I listen to Beige Phillip. Dante Nero, he's offered a whole lot of more of them understanding advice, Patrice was abrasive, let's be serious.
Oh yeah.
He was abrasive. Dante Nero, he's evolved the mindset.
He needs to evolve past those weird rings that he wears. Never say that to his face, but
that's him. Me, I ain't about all that. I'm a little bit more, like you said, shrewd. but I am giving. I've put a couple girls through school. I've definitely kept some roofs over some heads, some clothes on some backs, some school, Christmas gifts,
school sneakers,
some back to school clothes sneakers. I've spent some time with some kids. I've done it all.
So you've never been in a relationship officially?
Never been in a relationship, just relations.
Do you want to be in one?
Yeah, I'd like to be in a relationship. You want to
settle
someday.
Down in a monogamous relationship?
Yeah,
you want to get married?
Yeah, just because of the fact that I've never been in a monogamous relationship doesn't necessarily mean I don't want that. Who wouldn't? Dudes are not D-bags like they assume us to be.
We're not bad.
Yeah, I live this way only because, for one, I choose to, and for two, there's been no reason not to. So, yeah. I mean, like they say, you don't judge unless ye be judged. Well, I ain't judging nothing.
that's how I feel about this Kevin Hart situation. I try not to judge, man, because you never know what position you'll find yourself in, and I don't walk in that man's shoes, so I can't tell you how hard or how easy it is to be him.
I'll tell you, it'd be hard for me to be him with all them millions,
dude. It's
comedy special, dude. You wouldn't even hear from me. You wouldn't hear from me till I was down to that last million.
People look at guys like LeBron James and all these megastar, athletes, and they go, I want that life, but I wouldn't want it, man. It's you got too much to lose, man. I mean, you do. I mean, people can accuse you of anything, And I'm not saying that any woman would do this, but I mean, LeBron James can't even be in a room alone with a woman that's not his wife or a family member.
Thanks to Kobe.
Or even a family member. It could be a guy. It could be, honestly, it could be anybody.
I don't know, man. I mean, I know we're getting progressive, but even that.
But what I'm saying is a guy could accuse him of just plain old assault and go, hey, LeBron James punched me in my face. And if it's just you and him, there's no way for him to prove that he didn't do it.
True.
So, I mean, Now, as far as extortion and all that kind of stuff, LeBron punching somebody, people will go, well, we don't know what happened. But someone could say, like, hey, LeBron James, he grabbed my breast or he grabbed my ass. And everything that dude has ever earned in his life will be gone, because you have to believe people when they say that they were sexually assaulted. So, I mean, stuff like that, you have to be very aware of your surroundings. That dude can't be around another woman alone, because you don't know what that person's motives are. That's not a life I would want to have, man.
You're right. That is.
That dude, yeah, he can't be around. He just can't be with people alone that he doesn't know. I don't know you, man. When you have that much money, even if somebody's like, look, man, just give me $50,000 before I tell people that. For him, $50,000 is nothing.
But you know what the weird thing is? People that have, like, you know, entourages that they pay for. See, I don't think I could ever pay somebody to be my friend. That just doesn't sound right to me. You're not going to save my life if I was, like, in a car crash. That ain't going to happen. You know, I mean, I would hope that, or if I'm getting mugged, what are you going to do? You're not going to dive in front of the bullet for me.
You have to hire help for that shit. But, I mean, I was in my early 20s. I was in Phoenix in my early 20s, so rephrase that. And my clubbing days, and I used to go out a lot, and I used to see a lot, all these NBA stars, you know, Sean Marion, David Stoudemire, Stephon Marbury, and all these dudes had, you know, decent sized entourages. They all had Escalades with rims, Gucci and Louis Vuitton interior. And now we're almost 40 years old, and I wonder what those guys have accomplished. Like, it's cool when you're in your early 20s to hang out with your boy, you know, because he made it to the NBA, and y'all hanging out at the club, and y'all getting girls, and y'all drinking, and y'all. But when it's all over with, it's like, what do you have to show for it? You know?
Well, a nice house.
I mean the entourage.
Oh, guy. The entourage aspect. Oh,
the entourage man. Guy.
Oof, man.
And a lot of those dudes, they end up breaking their friends. Yeah. I guess it's ultimately the person making the money's fault, but if there's that whole guilt thing behind it, you got to help people out. But yeah, it's just like people are just, they're takers. They want to be around this dude because he's, you know, made it to the league and y'all hanging out and VIP and doing all this shit. But it's just like, what are you really bringing to the table? You know, other than bringing some chicks to come hang out, and you know, he got to buy you a chain and a car to hang out so you look cool and sneakers and shit. It's just, I wouldn't want to do that shit. Yeah. But
I mean, there got to be more to it than just sneakers and shoes and all of that and pretty women and nice cars. But at the same time, you know, I mean, that's the life that most people want. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It looks like it's glamorous, but it's just like you get traded and or you get hurt, and then it's just like you're out the league, and all of a sudden all your friends are gone too because the money is not there anymore. And dude, I've seen it. You have male groupies where they, you know, you in the NBA and you got these dudes hanging around you, and all they want to do is get to know more NBA players, more famous, richer NBA players, so they can hang out with them and do bigger things, and you know, but they don't have any aspirations in their own life.
But it is a very solitary life. I mean, you go through, like, what, age 5 or 6 when you start, and then, you know, you continuously play sports throughout that entire time. Yeah. Your entire life revolves around this sport. So what happens when you get, like, 35 years old and too old to play, and then now it's time to retire? I mean, like I said, you ain't been doing nothing but partying and...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just sad. And then, like, all those guys that were hanging out, they're all gone. They probably moved on. They probably have families and shit. And here you are, 35. You made $27 million over the last 12, 15 years or whatever it is. And now you have nothing and you owe back taxes and shit. And it's like, well, where are all these people at that were, you know, with me in 2003 that were helping me spend my money and shit?
Barbados. Yeah. Yeah. Could be anywhere.
Somewhere, just chilling.
You know, I mean, shoot, because I know. They ain't taking no finance classes. I mean,
I know. It's just, I mean, it's just, I don't think it's an easy life. It's just, you know, it's a lot of money, and it seems like it's cool and fun and glamorous. But, I mean, I look at dudes like Kevin Hart and all these athletes and superstars and A-list celebrities. It's like, I really would not want that lifestyle. Not that that's even an option for me to even act like I don't want that, like I'm gonna turn it down, like it's just, it's something out there waiting for me. But I definitely, as I've gotten older, I'm like, I appreciate the anonymity that I have, you know.
Oh yeah.
So it would be awesome to get to a level in comedy where you go and people recognize you for your work, not necessarily wanting to be recognized for just quote unquote being famous and all that kind of shit, but just to go, oh, I really like your comedy. That would be my biggest thrill. It's like people respecting what I do on stage and and having some good things to say and funny. But that level of fame that he has, bro, I wouldn't want it, man. I don't need it. And
I appreciate my anonymity. however you say that word.
Anonymity? Yeah, I wouldn't want that shit, man. It's too much to deal with.
Because, man, things that I get into, man, I need to keep that junk under wraps. I gotta be professional for the daytime. I can't have all of that. But yeah, it's.
So you ready to get out of here and go back to
Yeah, I'm ready to head back to the Midwest. Oh, you know, boy. I mean, I served my time. Now it's time for me to get released and go on do better things, bigger and better things, maybe. You know, I mean, it'll be my first time, you know, not being underneath something. It'll be my first time being on my own with the bottom out. You know, the military has been like a safety net because I come from the ghetto. You know, if you fail at this, it's poverty. Yeah. It's homelessness. There's nothing else underneath that. So, you know, joining the military was my only way to get ahead in life, especially after crashing my mom's car. You know, I had to go quick, faster than her.
Damn.
So, yeah.
So when you get back, you're going to head into your old life?
I'm going to try to avoid it. For a little bit, you know, I've gotten fat over the years. You know, I've been eating good, drinking good.
That's because the body wants to be fat, right?
Yeah, the body wants to be
fat. It does not want to be fat, you lazy motherfucker.
You say that, but man, there's too many fat people walking around.
That's because people are lazy. They don't want
to
work out.
Not to mention, you walk into the gym and you see like the same 30 people in there every day, all getting it, not lost a single pound.
That's because it's all about discipline, man.
It ain't just discipline. It takes some serious fortitude and some
that's
willpower
discipline.
To change.
That's called discipline, motherfucker.
You got discipline to go in every single day and not make a single difference.
this is what I'm dealing with Ray. I said discipline. He goes, no, it takes fortitude. And what's the other word you use?
I don't remember. You know,
basically describing what discipline is.
No. It takes more than just you being disciplined to a schedule. You need to see constant improvement, and that's not exactly easy to do either.
That's exactly what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. I'm describing discipline, and he goes, no, you need all this other stuff, and basically breaking down what you're doing, like the deconstructed sandwich version of what discipline is. You're just taking different adjectives that describe what entails discipline.
I'm gonna tell you what science tells me. Oh, there's not one magic bullet to lose weight, and the reason why, because the body wants to be fat.
No, it does not.
So you gotta do a range of things.
It's discipline.
You gotta do a range of things.
You just gotta eat right and work out. Actually, you don't even have to do that. You just have to eat right.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the only thing you have to do.
Eating right is about 60 to 75%.
No, it's not. It's 90% of it.
I don't know about 90% because it took me a lot of exercise just to get it right. But at the same time, it took 100% dedication to the diet.
That's discipline. See, this is why we always say Ray is fucking autistic, but he denies that. So now we say that he has Ray's disease.
I am not autistic in the least. I don't know.
Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. You're like the fucking Black Rain Man.
Oh man.
Oh God! Yes,
but the thing is, you know, for me to lose weight, it took me getting on a keto diet, sticking to it, and exercising.
So being disciplined
and exercising 6 days a week for at least 2 hours, sometimes three.
So being disciplined,
burning 1,500 calories a day.
So being disciplined.
You know, the discipline is what describes me sticking to it, but the need for improvement when something wasn't working right.
God damn it.
That's not discipline. It doesn't mean improvement. Discipline just means sticking to what you're doing.
It all boils down to discipline.
You know, like I said, there can be somebody disciplined enough to go into the gym 7 days a week, but they not make a single difference.
But to me, that's more being religiously going to the gym, but they're not dedicated.
It's That sounds like they are dedicated. It just no, seems like they're not.
They're not they're, I mean, they're going religiously, but they're not dedicated to really getting healthy.
I think they are dedicated to getting healthy. They're just confused about how to go about doing
it. We have gotten into endless hours of arguments over semantics of words.
This is how
autistic this motherfucker
this
is.
This isn't just semantics of words. These are meanings. We ain't caught up with meanings.
Anyone that is great at anything who has achieved any type of level of greatness, it boils down to discipline, man. They stuck with it through thick and thin. The
discipline is sticking with it.
Yeah, and they did what it took to get better. If that means eating cleaner, if that means driving 3 hours to do open mic, if that means getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and putting up 500 shots, if that means you had to stay extra and run a couple extra laps or a couple extra sprints, that's the discipline, man.
That sounds like growth. That sounds like to me.
But it's easy to quit. That's why most people are fat, because it's easy to not go to the gym.
Because if you have to do the extreme things, at least hold up. Not before I say extreme. Let me say before you go to what you would consider to be unreasonable in order to lose weight, it may just be what you actually need in order to lose weight. Because that's what it took for me. It took for me to doing something that I thought was unreasonable in order for me to make the changes that I thought were necessary. That took a little bit more than just discipline. That means that I needed to go further, harder than what I was doing before.
Everyone disagrees right now.
It just sounds like you.
I'm telling you, everyone is going to agree with me. Yeah, I'm just saying, it all just boils down to just being disciplined and doing the right thing. That's all.
Doing the right thing, huh?
Yes.
Apparently, it's not that easy to just do the right thing.
It's not. It's not, man.
Let's ask our friend Kevin Hart.
Why? Because that nigga wasn't disciplined.
I think he was disciplined. The dude's a cheater. He went out and cheated more.
He wasn't disciplined.
He was not disciplined. Like I said before, he got sloppy because what you don't do is go to somebody else's place and where she can set up an iPhone and then she can record y'all.
Well, she said she had nothing to do with it.
Of course she's going to say she ain't had nothing to do with it. And she's not a stripper. It's only y'all two in that room.
She had no idea.
Yeah, she had nothing.
And
to
she
do
suggested
with
the location.
he was in her car last time I checked. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he fucked up.
Yeah, he got sloppy. That's what you don't do.
Yeah, if you got that much money and you're doing that, you gotta vet, motherfucker. You gotta be like, no, you'll get the location.
You gotta have go betweens.
Yeah,
every time
you gotta be like, go to this hotel, then you go to this room, and then when you get there, all right, this ain't the hotel. go to this one.
It gotta be a specific Uber you gotta hit up with a certain number. They come through, they pick you up, they take you to one location.
You need TSA before.
You gotta sign a non-disclosure agreement.
They do that shit too. You gotta take your shoes off. Let me see your laptop. Put that shit through a metal detector. Take your belt off.
I was like, no electronics enters this room.
Yeah. So that motherfucker need to, he gotta fuck bitches in a skiff.
Oh man, that's what you need to do.
But
so
yeah, or you could just not fucking cheat.
I'm not big on telling people what they should or shouldn't be.
I don't either. I'm just saying I have my moral compass.
I just know I wouldn't need to. In fact, if I had a chick, I've always told all the dancers, let me get it right, you know, that's what they want to be called. I've always told all the dancers I've ever met that if I did have a girlfriend, I wouldn't be in this place. Because I don't believe in that. And they always keep asking me, you're a good guy. Why do you have a girlfriend? I was like, no, I'm not a douchebag. And they're like, oh, why do you say that? Because think about it. Every dude that you've seen up in here that has a girlfriend and you go home with him, you do whatever you do on the side, they got a chick. And then you wondering why crap always falls through or why they're a dope bag because they're lying to you or they're stealing money from you or they're using you. Yeah. Because guess what? They're not honest from the get-go. I'm single. I should be up in here. I got money. I should be throwing it. Why are you questioning my motives? I'm the most honest guy in here. Yeah. In fact, I think strip clubs are like the most honest place, because when you walk into them, guess what? You know exactly what you want out of this plethora, this buffet of women.
Plethora.
You get exactly what you want. If you want the fat chick, you go for the fat chick. If you want the anorexic coked up with woman, that's what you go for. Now, if you're a hypocrite, you're gonna judge. Now, if you're not a hypocrite, you're like, oh, you know, that's his thing. Not me though. Not me. I ain't got no type, but you know, they gotta be thick. You know, I don't like no CrossFit women.
Jesus Christ.
I don't like the V. I like the pooch. You got a pooch. I'm down with that.
You down with the pooch?
I'm down with the pooch. You know, cellulite, that don't bother me. Stretch
but,
marks.
But why? You just like low self-esteem.
Nah, I don't like low self-esteem. Yeah, I bring women up. Thank you.
Yeah, because they're already down.
I gotten some women to quit the job because I made them feel so good about themselves. They shouldn't be there doing that. Now, unfortunately, they thought that I would still stick with them after they quit, but you know.
Jesus Christ. This is going to be my most controversial episode ever.
Like I said, I'm single. All
right.
And all you got to offer me is...
I know, Ray. You're only offering what's up under that pooch. That's about it.
That's all you offering me. So, you know, it's not like you can cook. Women in this day and age, they do not know how to cook. And any girl that thinks that she can, oh, we can throw down. And I'm always win out in the end.
Like Bobby Flay. All right. That was fun. Because Ray about to go off. And he on one tonight. But I appreciate him, man. He's going to be leaving soon. And we had a lot of fun. This is just a small window into what our conversations are like on these 2-3 hour road trips. And it gets heated. It's fun. There's been numerous times where I'm like, this shit should have been recorded. But if that was the case, I would probably not have a family.
Yeah.
With some of the shit we talk about. But thanks for coming on, Ray. Appreciate it. So there's the show. That's the show. Peace out, everybody. See you later.
Eradicate all monkeys.
Oh, God.